I hadn't really thought about this, but I did reveal that the Labour Party campaign director, Morgan McSweeney, I knew had booked a holiday for July because he lives with his a wife and son, Magnus, in Scotland. And that's when people take the school holidays. So he'd booked his summer holes. And I think possibly the Prime Minister picked this up. And he thought, right, I'll catch them out.
It's 4:05. We understand Cabinet is about to start. There are rumours flying around all day. There have been Tory MPs coming out saying it's not happening. We think it probably is. Danny, why now?
Well, look, I think they have reached the conclusion that the longer they go, the stronger the time for a change message becomes for Labour, because they look to be hanging on. There's nothing to be gained from it. And so, therefore, they may as well hold it at a moment where they can push the Reform Party on the hop, capitalise on the fact they got good inflation figures, get some sort of good beginning to the calling of the election, and they may as well do it now because there's no point waiting. I think that's what they've decided.
And is it unusual for even Tory MPs clearly didn't see it coming? They still haven't known whether it's happening or not at lunchtime.
Yeah,
Who would know?
In 2017, in 2019. I think Oliver Dowden will doubtless have known. But I don't think he'll have gone much further, apart from maybe Isaac Levido, the campaign organiser, Liam Bootsmith, James Forsyth in Number 10. Beyond that, I mean, I spoke to someone pretty important in Number 10. He was still thinking it would be in October, and that was a couple of days ago. So clearly, the moment you say it to more than about three people in politics, it leaks. So you cannot do that. And he'll have held it close, and those are the close people.
Peter, are Labour ready for this?
Oh, I think Labour are ready. They've been almost over-ready now for months. Right from the beginning of the year, they were anticipating that an election could be called even in May, but quite seriously before the summer. So they've been very focused indeed. And it's funny enough, I was listening to the Prime Minister's questions. I thought, God, you know, there had been rumours about an election being called, but PMQs was completely devoid of politics. And Keir Starmer used his six questions not to wind things up, not to politicise the exchange between himself and the Prime Minister, not to sort of ramp up and his troops, but to ask simply six very serious, detailed questions about the blood contamination crisis and the government's response to it. And I felt that Rishi Sunak was sort of itchy to sort of, you know, get out his partisan lines, his Starmer baiting points that he's given just before he goes into Prime Minister's questions, and he didn't have an opportunity to do so. And I thought that made Starmer look good.
Seriously
focused on things that really wind people up about this whole crisis. Wasn't trying to cheerlead. Wasn't trying to goad anyone. He was just trying to get the facts. And, you know, if that was not only what he felt like doing, but also an element of calculation, I thought it stood him in very good stead for a coming election campaign.
Danny, are the Tories, I know they get to call the election whenever the Prime Minister wants to, but are they actually ready for an election right now?
Well, essentially, one of the things that happens is you end up often surprising yourself as much as you surprise the opposition. So I think that the core people would have been ready. I'd be interested in whether they're ready on the manifesto. There'll certainly be some MPs who are going to resign that haven't done so. So you risk this story in the first week of a, you know,
we'll do so in the coming
years. Yes,
yeah.
Because they don't want to be in the next parliament. So you risk 10 MPs resigning their seats in the first week, which is not a good story.
But my view
of those things is that is really not, doesn't move the election. The only thing that I think in an election campaign might move the result is party split. In other words, the split between the Conservatives and Reform, the split between Labour and the Liberal Democrats, how well targeted the vote is, that, and then leadership ratings. So is there, have people finally made up, fully made up their mind on both Keir Starmer and Rishi Sunak? Do they know? Because it turned out in the 2017 election there was a bit of play in that. Mainly, though, that election was settled by party split. So there'll be an awful lot of stuff that goes on in the election campaign that sounds like it makes a difference, but actually doesn't move the dial much at all. And we'll write about it because it's interesting in itself, but it's not a game changer, really.
We had a tiny bit of good economic news this morning, you know, a marginal change in the rate of inflation. The Tories sort of for the first time had a, you know, not a terrible headline.
No.
Has that contributed to this decision to go now? But also, is it foolish of them not to wait for the economy to get a bit better and go later in the year?
Well, that is what they could definitely, that's the one big argument against going in July over getting October, because people don't appreciate figures. I mean, just take inflation. Most people they don't think inflation has come down to 2.3%. They think prices are going up. I don't think it's as powerful as an argument. It's only powerful as an experience, which is if people's wages go up, but costs don't go up by as much, then people feel a bit better off. And that would only come from waiting, but it would be mild, the effect between now and October. So perhaps this is played into the calculation if he does go in July.
Peter, tell us a bit about what's happening behind the scenes for Labour, just how ready they are for this election.
Well, there'll be an absolutely a frantic activity booking places.
Booking places?
Booking places.
Yeah.
I mean, the launch of the campaign will have to take place, you know, in a matter of days. They will have a grid already worked out. Mm. They will know what they're going to do in the, say, 5-6 weeks of an election campaign. So it's not that they have to work out what they're going to do and say and what they're going to launch, but where they do it and the actual physical premises in which they do it, all those now have to be booked at speed. And somebody will be doing that very quickly indeed. There'll be advanced teams who will have done a lot of the preparatory work, but not all of it, who will be considering what Keir Starmer and his senior colleagues will be doing next week and where they'll be going. So, and those teams now have to be put onto the ground. Mm. They have to be sent in different directions in order to tie up the final details so that everything is got right.
Televisionally
and filmically, so that everything goes off well from the start.
And Peter, we're here at the podcast show. We've been talking about the brilliant Times podcast you do, How to Win an Election. Did you contribute to this decision? Are you part of the reason they've gone now?
Well, somebody said to me this morning that the fact that on the podcast this week I had let slip, not that I actually ever do let things slip. I usually know what I'm saying. But anyway, I hadn't really thought about this, but I did reveal that the Labour Party campaign director, Morgan McSweeney, I knew had booked a holiday for July because he lives with his wife and son, Magnus, in Scotland. And that's when people take the school holidays. So he'd booked his summer holes, and I think possibly the Prime Minister picked this up and he thought, right, I'll catch them out. I'll catch them on the hop here with their campaign director going off to, you know, wherever he's booked his holiday.
He's busy unbooking that now.
And he will, that I'm afraid holiday will already have folded.
And Peter, if the election...
Not least because his wife is also a candidate, by the way.
Oh, but I mean, poor family. There will be no holiday for the foreseeable. Peter, as things stand...
I'll look after the boy.
I didn't know you offered babysitting services, but this
I'm
is
a great babysitter.
Out.
I'm a babysitter of great experience.
We should be
I wield I have wielded the cow pole like nobody else I know.
Honestly, I think everyone's going to want your services throughout the election. It's out there now. For now, though, as things stand, if the election is called later today and it happens now, not later in the year, what do you think? How do you think it'll end? What do you think the result will be? A hung parliament, or does Labour win? And if so, by how many seats? How big a win are they looking at?
I think if the electorate pick up a smell that the outcome of this, after all this time of waiting, after everything we have gone through as a country, is going to be a hung parliament in which the Conservatives finally are able to cling on by their fingernails to power, I think that it will be the greatest motivator to get people out of their homes on polling day to vote Labour, or in some cases, obviously, to vote Liberal Democrat. I think the time for change is absolutely unstoppable.
Is there a chance you could still have a hung parliament, though?
I think it's very unlikely that there'll be a hung parliament. I think the country will act and vote decisively. They will not return the Conservatives to a fifth term of government, not just because it's never happened before, but what on earth would you be voting for? What on earth would you expect to happen if the Conservatives got back to a fifth term? Not even they expect or want to have a fifth term in government, let alone the rest of the country. They want to get on with the business of sorting themselves out, fighting over the soul and future direction of the Conservative Party. You know, the right are going to take on the far right in the Conservatives. That old rump of more moderate One Nation Conservatives will be standing at the touchline. They're going to be observers at what is going to be one ferocious, mighty great battle within the Conservative Party. First, of who takes the blame and the responsibility for their defeat, but who now is in the best position to capture the Conservative Party and to take it in the right wing or the further right wing direction that they're battling over amongst their MPs and activists.
And Peter, I feel like we should say you had a pretty good run of political campaigning there, but Danny had to run so that he could get his column out for tomorrow on the news of an election, so we've had to lose it. But thank you for joining us.
I'm not absolutely sure that there's very much that Danny would disagree
with. That's very
true. That's for him to say, not for me to assume.
Well, thanks for talking to us while we wait for urgent news from Westminster.
Thank you.